All right, so tonight we are going to continue in our study on rightly dividing the word of truth. And so go ahead and open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 19 this evening. Exodus chapter number 19. And we've been kind of starting in the Old Testament and going through and talking about God's dealing with man and how God established things in his word for man and man's obedience to God. At least that's what God wants. God wants obedience to him. And so he's laid out some things for man. And so we have been talking about this covenant here in Exodus chapter number 19 that God makes with the Jewish people. And he makes this covenant. We call it the Mosaic Covenant because God is using Moses here to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and then make this covenant with them. So let's go ahead and read some verses here in Exodus chapter number 19. And we'll start in verse number 1. Exodus chapter 19, verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And so the Lord here offers this covenant to the nation of Israel. The Lord has long since called out Abraham of the Ur of the Chaldees and gave him blessings to his seed and to his children. And they have been into Egypt and have come out of Egypt, and they have been blessed by God. They are now 2 million or so strong as a nation that has come out, and God has miraculously brought them out of Egypt. He is here establishing a covenant with them, saying that I'm going to establish this covenant, and I'm going to prepare this kingdom for you. I am going to give you the rules of this kingdom that he lays out in the law. And then he says, we're going to go up into the promised land, and I'm going to give you this land that I promised unto your fathers. And he makes this covenant with them here, and he says, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you're going to be a peculiar treasure. You're going to be above all people. You're going to be a kingdom of priests. You're going to be a holy nation. And the people say, that sounds great. Let's do it. And they're all for it. And they say, okay, everything the Lord says, we're going to do everything God says. And so then you get Exodus 20 and so on, and you get the law that was given to Moses. And we spent lots of time looking at the different parts of the law and what it meant and the things that God was supposed to do for them and instructed them to do, and Israel was to keep their end of the bargain. And so we have looked at the preparation of a kingdom. We have looked at the rules for a kingdom. And now we're going to look at Israel's obedience, all right? Israel's obedience. And if you've read your Bible and you know the Bible stories, you know Israel's obedience. It could be called Israel's disobedience. But we're going to look at Israel's obedience and what they did with what God said. And man, what promises the children of Israel had and the blessings that came with that, as well as the cursings that God gave them if they were to be disobedient. And so God gives them, we understand that the law of Moses here runs from the time of Moses for the children of Israel all the way until Jesus Christ. And so we know that because the Bible says that the law and the prophets were until Christ. All right, and so Christ comes and fulfills all of the law, and he is the fulfillment of the prophets. And so this time period is from Moses unto Christ. And so a couple things. God gives them the day of the judges. All right, and so God brings judges about to help the children of Israel to do right. And God gives them the days of the kings as well. And he gives them all the kings of the joint kingdom, and then the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel, and gives them these individuals that are supposed to follow the Lord and follow the law and follow the things that God had said, and the blessings will be upon Israel. And during both of those times, the days of the judges and the days of the kings, you have the days of the prophets, men that stood and prophetesses, some in the Old Testament, that stood and spoke the word of the Lord to Israel to remind them of God's promise of blessing and promise of judgment. And God uses those prophets to do that at different times. And so tonight we're just going to look at the days of the judges. All right, the days of the judges. Now we're not going over all of the judges. All right, I'm leaving Brother Grimes a lot to tackle in the book of Judges. All right, so I'm trying to stay off his turf, all right, since he's doing that in the adult Sunday school class, going through the book of Judges and many good things there. So we're just going to kind of highlight, hit random things, and keep moving, all right, is what we're going to do. But we have the days of the judges. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 7, we're going to see in this day of the judges, we're going to see, number one, we're going to see God's command to Israel. All right, God's promise to Israel. God has set up everything for Israel. God has given him his law and his moral commandment, and he's given him his ceremonial law, and he's given him all these ordinances, and he's given him these things and said, okay, you go with these. You're going to be a peculiar people. You're going to be above all people. I'm going to be your God. And we're going to go up to the promised land, and you just continue to have faith in me and my promises that I've given you. I've already shown you how I can bring you out of Egypt. All right? There was no question of God's power when they came out of Egypt. And so we're going to continue, and I'm going to bring you into the land of Canaan, and you're going to be able to take the land. Don't you worry about it. And so God gives this command to Israel. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 1. The Bible says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, you know, all the ites, right? Seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, that thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his sons, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son. And they will turn away, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they might serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. All right, so he's telling them how to go. Now, we'd already covered this in previous lessons, but God was giving plenty of opportunity for the inhabitants of the land of Canaan, all the ites. The Canaanites, we'll use that as a general term for a whole bunch of land there. God was giving them years and years and years, specifically mentioned the Amorites, over 400 years he had given them to repent and turn unto God, and they had not done it. And when you read some of the things in the law, and there's some things in the law that we can read about that kind of turn your stomach. And he says, all of these things the people of the land of Canaan are doing, and you don't want to be a part of that. God's judgment is on that. And so when God tells the nation of Israel to come in and to destroy everyone and not to show mercy and show pity, it's because God had given them over 400 years of mercy. Now, I'm thankful for God's mercy. But I know as a child of God, someone who has claimed Christ as my Savior and received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I know that His mercy, if I just keep disobeying the Lord and running from God and just doing the opposite of what God wants, His mercy will at some point run out. Right? And you know, even children in the home, they understand. They run to mom for mercy because dad sometimes is, you know, not as merciful. I know sometimes the Lord says, be merciful. Be merciful. And He's telling me to, you know, not chop off the heads of my children in disobedience. and it's, but God's mercy runs out. And so when He tells His people, go in and wipe out the land, it was because His mercy was run out. And so God gave them plenty of opportunity, but He says, this is what I want you to do. And this was God's commandment to Israel. When you go in and I'm giving you this land and you wipe everybody out because you're not to follow their gods. You're not to get mixed up with the sins of these people. You're not to get mixed up marrying each other. It's going to bring problems. And so He gives them this command. Well, so we have God's command, but it doesn't take very long before we start to see Israel's disobedience to God's command. Israel's disobedience to God's command. Turn to Joshua chapter number 23. Joshua chapter 23. And of course, Joshua has taken over as leadership. Joshua is God's leader that was chosen to replace Moses. And Joshua is going to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. They already tried to do it once. And the nation of Israel said, we don't want to go in there. They're all tall in there. They're all giants. We look like grasshoppers to them. We don't want to go fighting them. And even though God said, I'm going to give you the land, I'm going to take care, I'm going to fight the battles for you, I'm going to give you victory, I'm the one that's doing this for you. And they said, we don't want any part of that. That seems too hard. And so God has given a chance. He's been merciful to the children of Israel. And He's given their children a chance to come in and take the land. And so at the end of the book of Joshua, they have gone in. They have fought battles. They saw the walls of Jericho fall. They saw this next generation walked up into the promised land on dry ground, just like some of them, when they were really young, were holding their father and mother's hands and walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. And they saw all of that. They now were on their own, now walking across on dry ground into the promised land and watching God bring walls down and watching God do miracles with His power to give His people His land, their land, excuse me. But by the time we get here to the end of Joshua, start reading in 23, start reading in verse number 1, and it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And he said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, He is that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Jordan, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, He shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. And he goes through and he tells them again about some things of the law that God had told them to do, to verse 6, not to turn to the right or to the left. And verse number 7, I will read it. That they that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them. And he says to cleave unto the Lord and to do all these things. He says, because if you don't If you don't do what I've said and wipe these people out, they're going to be thorns in your eyes, it says in verse number 13. They're going to be snares and traps unto you. He says, you need to do these things that I've commanded you to do, or it's going to lead to trouble. And of course, they don't do it. They don't do it. Turn over to the book of Judges, chapter 1. In Judges chapter number 1 here, we see Israel and what they end up doing. And let's go ahead and start in verse. Let's start in verse number 27. Judges chapter 1, verse number 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns. And he goes through here, and look what he says here at the end of verse 27. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass that when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, but the Canaanites dwelt. Verse 31, neither did Asher. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali. And we go on down through here, and we see that God said, drive them all out, but they don't do it. They don't do it. Some was because they were facing some adversity, and it was harder than what they thought it was going to be. And so they said, we'll just leave it. We'll just leave them. We have the power currently, and so we'll just leave them here in the land. It won't be a big deal. It's easier than fighting them with chariots of iron. It's easier than us losing some in the fight. And we'll just leave them here, and everything will be fine. The Lord told them it wouldn't be fine. But they said, no, we got this. It'll be fine. And so they go into the land, and that's what they start to do. And by the time we get to Judges chapter number 2, in verse number 10, after many years have passed, we see this in Judges 2, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And here comes up a generation that has seen the hand of the Lord, but they haven't seen much adversity. All right, so when you think about this, remember, this is the second generation now. The one generation has come out and was in the wilderness for 40 years and saw God provide for them. But this nation that has come here, they have come out of that. They have come out of Egypt. They have come out of the wilderness. They came into a land where the Lord says, when you go into the land, the fruit's going to be hanging right on the trees. And the crops are going to be growing right out of the ground. And when you come in, you're just going to take all of this, and I'm going to give this all to you. And you're just going to take all this fruit. You're going to be eating of all these crops that you didn't sow and you didn't plant and you didn't do the hard work and you didn't take care of these trees. All this was done for you. I'm going to move you into this land and give you all of this blessing until you start to do all this work on your own. I'm going to bless you and take care of all these things. So here comes this generation that didn't hardly know anything about the hardships of the wilderness. And they come in on all of the blessings, and this generation grows up now. This new generation grows up, and they've just seen nothing but blessings. And the Bible says they don't know the Lord. This generation comes that doesn't know the Lord. All they know is the goodness of the hand of God in victory and in blessing. And there's a lesson to be learned there. There's a lesson to be learned, especially for some of these young people here. Some of these young people that are raised in a Christian home and that have parents that love them and care for them and support them. There's this, that we can grow up as children in church and as Christians in church. We can grow up and not really see or understand the hardships that there are in serving the Lord and hardships to come, being faithful to the Lord amongst adversity from the world and other places. And so if we're not careful, we can just kind of grow up in all the goodness of the Lord and not really know who the Lord is, not really have any walk with the Lord, not really understanding that the Lord can lead and guide and wants to lead and guide not just the grown-ups, not just the adults, not just the old people. And I include me in that group from the vision of young people, right? You remember when you were that old? I mean, my parents are in their 40s. Oh my goodness. That is ancient. I understand. Sometimes in your 40s, it feels ancient. I get that. But, you know, young people, everybody's old. And so, man, God leading and guiding and directing, and that's the church, and that's just for old people. No, it's not. It's for young people. God desires to speak to young people's hearts and lead and guide and direct them in the very ways that he did Israel. In the very ways that he spoke to them and tried to bring them about. But when we look here in chapter number 2, in verse number 16, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua." You see, young people, since I'm still kind of talking to you, although I was looking kind of over your heads here, when you're raised in a Christian home and you come to church and your parents are trying to teach you the right thing to do and to stay away from some of the harms that are in the world, a lot of times you have to try real hard to find a way around the rules to do the wrong thing. But just because you don't have access to do the wrong thing doesn't mean you're choosing to do the right thing. But someday, whether it's now or whether it's later, you're going to grow up and be on your own. And whenever that time comes, to your parents, it's going to come quicker than they thought. And you're going to be out serving someone, yourself, the Lord, the devil. And when you're out there and you don't have someone over top of you kind of showing you which way to go and I'm not going to let you go that way when you live in my house. I don't know if you guys have ever heard stuff like that, but they have in my house, right? You're not going to go that way when you're under my roof. But when you're able to go whatever way you want, that's when you're going to find out if you're going to serve the Lord or not. Because when the trials come and no one's there to make you do the right thing, now you get to choose to do right by God, or you get to choose to do something else. That's when those things that are out there Man, wouldn't it just be nice if God just got rid of all the temptations of sin and just took it all out of here? But if there was no chance to sin, we would have no chance to do right. And so God is pleased when we live by faith and we worship Him and we serve Him and we follow Him. And the days are coming when the sin is everywhere and available and you get to choose what to do. But you know what you see here in this passage? It says here, He's going to leave these other nations. He's going to leave these other people that were there that they didn't drive out. God says, I'm not just going to get rid of them for you. If you didn't drive them out when you had the chance to, now they're going to stay. And when they're staying, they're going to present you with problems. And He says, and since they're going to be here, I'm going to use them, look what it says in verse 22, to prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. You know what you can see from this verse? Is even with those other nations, even with the other nations' sin and influence and wickedness that was going to be mixed in amongst them, you know what He says? You can still obey Me. You can still do right. You don't have to do what all the rest of the world is doing. You don't have to get involved with the sin of all the rest of the world. And He says, I'm going to leave them there because you know what's going to happen when those temptations come? Some of them are going to do right anyway. And I'm going to see them and reward them and bless them. And others are going to do wrong to their own destruction, is what He says. And in the book of Judges, we find the saying, we'll turn to Judges 17. Turn there, chapter 17. Verse number 6, Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. The Bible says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the multitudes of individuals, when they had someone there to say, hey, I'm going to fight these battles and keep the enemy away, and you follow Me, and you repent and serve God, they said, okay, we're behind you. And then the enemy would go away, and then they'd get comfortable, and they'd say, well, we don't like all the rules, so we're going to do whatever we want. And then they would do whatever they want, and then the judgment of God would come upon them, and or they would get themselves in trouble, and they would say, we don't like it, we don't like it. And the Lord was merciful, and He'd bring a judge, and they'd come and say, follow Me, we'll serve the Lord, and we'll fight this enemy off. And they'd say, yeah, let's do it. And then the enemy would get fought off, and then they'd say, well, we don't like the rules, right? Over and over and over again is what would happen. They didn't like reaping what they were sowing. And let me give you these things quickly to finish up here this evening. But we can kind of see a progression here of these things of the nation of Israel, and we can make some applications to our lives as well. You'll be able to see them easily. All right, so firstly, we had the original command of God. Right? And God gives His commands. And we have a whole Bible in the New Testament filled with things that God says, this is the right way and this is the wrong way to go. And if you live in these things, you'll have peace and joy. And if you live in these things, you can see that there's heartache in these. And you can see these other things laid out before you, right? And God lays that out for us. And thank God that He does in the Scriptures. He's a Father that loves us when we're saved and born again. And it just doesn't go for young people. This is for adults. This is for the rest of us old people, too. To understand, like this morning, the message this morning was a life of vanity. There are things that we can live out in this life that just, they lead to nothingness. We think they're leading to something profitable. But at the end, when we have even what we think that we were striving for, we realize there's an emptiness there outside of Jesus Christ, outside of living for Him and having a purpose in our life. And so there is the original command of God. All right, then. But the second thing that happened here with the nation of Israel was incomplete obedience. Incomplete obedience, right? He said, go in and wipe them all out. I'm giving you this land. You're going to have all the blessings of this land. That was God's command, but they had incomplete obedience. They obeyed some of it, but not all of it. We did some of the stuff because that was easy. God took care of all that. The Jericho, that was an easy fight. The walls fell down and we just walked over the rubble and we won the battle. But some of these other nations, they got chariots of iron and they're going to fight back and we don't want to do that. And so Christians, the Lord says, this is what I want you to do and this is how I want you to grow. And some Christians, what are they guilty of? Incomplete obedience. So, well, I'm going to serve the Lord when it's easy. But when it's not easy, I'm just going to leave that alone for right now. I'm doing better than I was. I have more than I did before. But it's incomplete in your obedience. And so Israel was guilty of that. Israel was guilty of this, thirdly, of convenient arrangements. Convenient arrangements. What was that? We looked in Judges chapter number 1. It says, when we were in power, we're going to make the enemy our tributaries. They're going to pay us to protect them and take care of them. You just be quiet. When Israel was in power, they made these convenient arrangements with the enemy and said, okay, it's fine. Just be quiet. Do your thing over there. Don't bother us. But the problem was they were making arrangements God said not to make. Not only was it incomplete obedience, it was a wrong arrangement. It was a wrong truce to make. It was a wrong enemy to befriend. And that's what they were doing with these convenient arrangements. And once these arrangements were made and everything seemed like it was fine and we get along with them and they get along with us and as long as they know who's in charge and everything's great, and then what happened after that? Well, just like the Bible said was going to happen, they started to intermarry. That's what happened. We have all these arrangements that are convenient. We have all these friendships and these truces that we've built. And so I don't see anything wrong. So what? I serve a God of heaven, and they serve a God of stone or metal or wood. What doesn't matter? What's the difference? A huge difference, a very large difference. And we can also learn from that. We can learn from that as Christians, as individuals who want to serve God and live for God. You know what happens when you grow up and get old enough to get married? You should be very choosy of who you're marrying. Why? Because if you're going to marry someone that wants to serve God's opposite of your God, that's not going to be good. It's not, say, well, why? What happened? Well, number 5, it led to this. It led to idolatry. It led to, well, your God's not that bad. So I'll just come over here and I'll just compromise what I know God has said and what God has said to me. I'll compromise that and I'll come over here and I'll get involved with your gods. They're not so bad. Yeah, we can do this. We can worship these gods here and on this time and on these days, and we can do this. And when Saturday came along, that God said is going to be the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, they said, well, we're going to go over here and worship in these groves, and we're going to be with these gods over here and do these things. Why? Because the compromise led to ungodly unions, and these ungodly unions meant that the ones that were supposed to be separated and sanctified to God ended up going over towards these other gods and worshiping these other gods. And say, what did that lead to? That led to apostasy. That's what it led to. That led to eventually, I don't want anything to do with this God, with the God of heaven, with God Jehovah, the one that brought us into this land and gave us all this land and did all of this. I don't want anything to do with that God. I'm going to fully worship these idols. Until things didn't go well. And then they ran back over here and said, "Oh, Lord, can you help us? Can you please help us? Things aren't going the way I thought they were going to go." "Well, why don't you pray to your other gods?" "Well, because they're just pretty stones. They're not really real. You're real. We'll do anything you say." And then God brings them a judge, and then they start going back over. Why? Because they've already, then they come back over here and they say, "We like these gods. When everything's great for us and our bellies are full and we have enough money to pay the bills, we're right back over here." And then things don't go good. "Hi, Lord. Remember me? Remember us? We're your people. We're supposed to be a holy nation, a peculiar people." And because of all that apostasy, it leads to captivity. It leads to captivity. And there's great lessons to be learned there from Israel in the days of the judges. We're not supposed to go outside of these doors and find the enemy and start swinging swords or shooting bullets. That's no, right? There are certain things that we can apply and other things that do not apply. We should have a separation from the world. But we're not to go out and to destroy the world. You know, we're to go out and take Jesus Christ to the world. We're supposed to take the only answer of salvation that this world has in the offer of Jesus Christ through salvation, and we're supposed to go to win the world to Christ. And so that's what God has called us to do. But incomplete obedience, convenient arrangements, intermarriages, idolatry, apostasy, captivity. And then we see this over and over and over again. And say, what is this? This is the days of the judges. The days of the judges. And God in his mercy, thank God for his mercy. What's he do? What we'll talk about next Sunday, he brings about the days of the kings. Days of the kings. Not just someone that he raises up to help them temporarily, but he puts them in power and gives the nation great power in order to be able to serve him and to establish his kingdom. But we'll talk about that next week. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer tonight. Lord, thank you for being good to us again. Thank you for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word. Thank you for those that have come tonight. Lord, allow the truth of your word and the stories of your word to bury them into our hearts, that we can remember them and that you can lead us and guide us in all truth. Thank you for salvation, that it's free and that it's simple. Lord, thank you that you give us purpose in this life and give us something to do for you. Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us. Bless us now this week. Help us to be servants and soldiers for you. Help us to be testimonies wherever you've given us opportunity to speak your name. And Lord, we'll thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. God bless you. You are dismissed.